We're driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Leveraging over 140 million qualifications and preferences every day, Indeed's matching engine is constantly learning from your preferences. So the more you use Indeed, the better it gets. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Just go to Indeed.com/Blue Wire right now and support our show by saying that you heard about Indeed on this podcast. That's Indeed.com/Blue Wire. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
This podcast episode is brought to you by Coors Light. These days, everything is go, go, go. It's nonstop hustle all the time. Work, friends, family expect you to be on 24/7. Well, sometimes you just need to reach for a Coors Light because it's made to chill. Coors Light is cold lagered, cold filtered, and cold packaged. It's as crisp and refreshing as the Colorado Rockies. It is literally made to chill. Coors Light is the one I choose when I need to unwind. So when you want to hit reset, reach for the beer that's made to chill. Get Coors Light in the new look delivered straight to your door with Drizzly or Instacart. Celebrate responsibly. Coors Brewing Company, Golden, Colorado.
This is Heat Beat with Giancarlo Nava and Ryan Goins.
Welcome to the Heat Beat podcast. I'm your host, Giancarlo Nava. So with me today, full house, we have Heat Twitter president, Mr. Alf. How are you, sir?
Yes, sir. What's happening?
We have stats guru, Christian Hernandez.
The Heat are bad at a lot of things really well. I'll get back to you on this.
Okay, so excellent. Thank you for that. We have Leif.
Hola. What's up?
And joining us today, I forgot to mention our producer slash co-founder, Brian.
Hey. That was a good tease, Chris. That was a really good tease.
It was a good tease. We're going to get into that later. We have a lot to talk about today. And joining us today on the program is Mr. Roy Bellamy, one of the producers of the Dan Le Batard Show. How are you? Good evening, sir.
One of the saddest days in my life was going into the Heat media room and seeing Dwayne Wade in that awful jacket that he was wearing as a Chicago Bulls shooting guard.
Oh, that is rough.
I'm glad you say that because one of the things we're going to get into today is Dwayne's return. We're going to talk about some tanking. Chris is going to lay down some numbers. We have some Jay Rich talk about Saturday Night Live. Mr. Dave Chappelle was on last night, and I really want to get into that. But since Roy brought it up, I want to talk about D. Wade because he came back. And I guess, Roy, were you and I the only ones in the building that day? Was anybody else here at the stadium?
I was in the press box. I don't know about anybody else.
You're bragging over here, you know, living large.
Oh, I had a credential. I was there professionally.
You know, some of us try to get credentials and the Heat don't give it to us. Trying to rub it in?
Yeah, actually, I am. I'm trying to rub it in.
You trying to make fun of us?
Sorry.
You know, words hurt, Roy.
Wait, you mean you didn't pay to go to stadium?
Yeah, I mean, you know, some of us have to pay our hard-earned money.
Why waste money when you can actually work for a professional sports outlet? You know? I mean,
that's the goal. So, so you're in the press box. What was going on in there? Because, I obviously not tears in the press box, or at least I hope not, like there were in the stands.
No, it was a lot of professionalism. We looked down upon the court and just like we were in wonder, actually, seeing Dwayne Wade in a different uniform. Like, it was weird. It is absolutely surreal, you know. But watching, because immediately after the first time out, they played the video, and that was nice, but sad at the same time. And it was a nice crowd. I mean, it was a sellout, but I don't know. I guess they were late coming to the arena because I saw a lot of yellow and red seats, but that was nice, and Wade going out to center court and saluting the fans was nice, but it was sad. It really was sad We miss them already.
In my section, like, nobody wanted to look at the person next to them because we were all... I mean, I'm a crier, so, like, I was out there, like...
Oh, my God.
But, Alf, you know, Alf, you know me, dude. Oh, like, I'm God. That guy.
What do you mean nobody wanted to look at each other? Shut up.
No, because my section, I'm telling you, we didn't look at each other. Like,
no, man, that's just you. That is just you.
You didn't want to look at anybody. Everybody else is fine, dude. Like, okay, he's back in the Bulls uniform.
So you're saying that I was the only good, I was the only dude in that stadium who cried.
Everybody was looking at Wade because he looks fat in that uniform. That's why. We're looking at fat Wade in his fat Bulls uniform.
Being terrible.
I was crying at home, Gianni. You know, counting all the money that I made selling my tickets for that game.
You barely
I didn't cry because
tickets.
there's no crying in the press box, so I didn't cry. So no, I'm not gonna do that.
I bet Cody cried.
He Cody. Probably did. He probably shed a tear.
I bet Ira Winderman cried.
I had two tears in a bucket for Ira.
Ira Winderman hates the Heat. Saw Ira Winderman tweeting about Football Town today.
Did he really?
Yeah, he was like, "Oh, Football Town again." I was like, "Ira, what do you think you cover?"
This okay, no, I want to bring this up. I recalled that guy who ran on the court to love Dwayne. He called him an idiot. I don't know if he deleted the tweet, but I couldn't believe Ira. Very disappointed.
# secondary audio. Mm.
That guy was trying to bring Dwayne back.
He was low key right. That guy is an idiot. What was he doing?
As soon as that guy turned around, he had his hands behind his back.
That was the most peaceful guy ever. Like, he just ran to the court and then he walked into security's arms.
He's gonna spend a night in jail for what? Being a Wade stan? That's stupid. Just write a column like I used to.
Father son column.
Speaking of columns, you should plug your story.
Oh, my Dwayne story?
Yeah.
Yeah, you guys should take a read on heatbeatmiami.com. And by the way, we have tons of new writers. We hired a couple guys and everybody on staff already. So if you haven't checked it out, heatbeatmiami.com. We're posting stories every day. The website is flourishing. And I wrote about Trump got elected, and it was really sad for me. I have a lot of friends who are – my best friends are gay, and my other best friend's Jamaican. And it was just like talking to them all day. It felt so somber, and it was a lot of crying, like,
what are you doing?
I'm plugging this. I'm gonna plug my story. I'm plugging my damn
Alf,
story.
This was your. This was your idea. We had a meeting
you
about
just told
this.
Told me to plug the damn story.
You wanted us to plug stories on the pod. This is how we do it.
Damn, I'm setting up the. What do you want me to do, Alf?
Go ahead.
No, it's over. You killed it. Like, I was just go read the damn story if you haven't. It's about Dwayne Wade and humanity and sports being fun. Check it out, epmiami.com.
The Miami.
You could have just said that.
I don't know, yo. Brian's like, plug the story. And I'm like, all right, I'll plug the story.
Thank you.
Yo, you can all go to hell.
I'm sorry. I'm just a guest.
All of you.
I'm sorry.
But Alf first. Alf thinks he's on the radio. He's big time now.
Less is more, Gianni. Man, less is more.
Alf, you have something to plug?
That's okay. No, we're not plugging anymore. We're done. No, Alf doesn't write anymore. He's too good for that.
No, I just have no. I haven't had a good idea in like 6 months. That's the problem.
I'm gonna talk about tanking because now I'm shook. My feelings are hurt. Everybody's laughing at me. We have had a lot of talk recently on Twitter about the tank # tank SZN tank season. I'm kind of surprised that we're going there already because Miami's schedule has been difficult. The only bad team that they played was Sacramento and Orlando. And they beat both of those teams, the rest of those teams. I don't know why Miami was favored last night, but they were. But, I mean, Utah's better than they are, and so is Chicago. So Miami's played a lot of good teams. And
actually, the Jazz were favored by 1.5 last night.
But I said. No, wait. Oh, you're absolutely correct. I'm so sorry. I read that wrong. Regardless, they've played – my point stands. They've played good teams, and we're overreacting now. Like, what did you think that they were going to be? I would hope that somebody... See, no, you guys always do this to me.
You have to direct it to somebody, man.
I was looking at you.
Me? How can I tell? You look straight.
You're a bad co-host.
No.
We have a guest on for a nationally syndicated radio show. We have to do a good job. You've made fun of me. You've not responded when I asked a question.
I mean, Leif and Christian are sitting there, too. Roy, what do you think about tanking?
No, I'm asking you. No, I'm asking you first.
Me first. Okay.
Give us a hot take.
My whole thing about tanking is, first of all, I just don't like the term. I don't like the idea of losing on purpose. I think anybody who roots for their team to lose is kind of a loser themselves. It's pretty damn lame. That has to be the most miserable viewing experience as a fan, that you're rooting for your team to lose for the opportunity to maybe draft a player that might be Michael Beasley in 3 years. Like, I just don't see the point. Like, just root for your team to win. What happens, happens. But, like, these people, like, rooting for losses, like, after eight games, it just doesn't make sense to me.
I don't really think it's rooting for losses. I think it's rooting for restructuring of the team so that they're not built to win. I don't think it's in the fans to actively root for them to miss baskets. You know what I mean?
I mean, that's kind of the beauty of this, though, is that the team is not having to deliberately tank in terms of – like go out there and sit guys and not play to their, you know, to their best player strengths and legitimately try. So it's not like we're watching this team that's like sitting all their players to deliberately lose every game. They're just not that good and they're not that deep and they've ran into a rough patch. Goran is hurt. So you start to trend in a direction where getting a higher pick is going to be better for the team long term, but it's not like they're going out each night and Spo is not coaching as well as he can or something like that. So
my point is that the conversations changed very quickly when I think what's happened was exactly what everybody expected to happen. That's the point I'm trying to make. Like,
I personally, no, go ahead, Roy.
By the way, your guest from a nationally syndicated talk show on ESPN Radio can't figure out his Skype situation, so I'm no better.
I didn't want to throw you out like that, dude. We'll get into that later. I didn't want to throw you out like that, man.
Let me run myself over then. But eight games into the season, I mean, it's kind of early to be talking about tank talk, you know?
We're doing it.
You're doing it because it's a topic. But yeah, I mean, it's kind of early in the season to be talking about tanking, you know? I mean, we know that this team's not good. I mean, we know that this team is resting on the shoulders of Hassan Whiteside. I mean, that tells you right there that no tanking needed. They're not going to do well this season. That's just the way it is. I mean, they're not going to be as bad as the 76ers, but they're not really tanking. They're just not good.
Early in the season, it'll go out.
No, I'm okay with not being good. But, like, my argument with everybody has been, like, when the Heat lose, that people are happy. Like, Heat fans are happy about it. Like, I don't get that side. Like, I understand not being upset about a loss. Like, I only don't – the loss that upset me the most was a Spurs loss because, like, Deion Waiters was making decisions down the stretch. Like, that pisses me off. Like, that doesn't make sense for the future.
Yeah.
Like, I would rather Rodney McGruder be out there making decisions for the future than Deion Waiters or Luke Babbitt or any of these journeyman bums that are on the team. Like, so I can understand not being upset about a loss, being able to look at losses as learning experiences and saying, okay, well, we lost that game, but look how well Tyler played, or look how well Justice played, or I want this, you know, I'd like to see more out of TJ, out of Jay Rich. Like, I understand looking at it from that point, but, like, literally, like, being excited that the Heat lost a game is just where I kind of draw the line. It's just a weird fan experience for me.
If I had to watch another Deion Waiters fadeaway mid-range jumper, I might jump out of the press box.
I think those are fun. I think those are fun.
Is Deion Waiters...
They're so fun. God, because Deion's a psycho. Like, Deion's out here making decisions, and he's a crazy person, and it's fun.
Is Deion Waiters not every dude you see at an outdoor playground who thinks they're a lot better than they are? Like, I mean, even the way he dribbles his step backs, super exaggerated. Like, dude, what are you doing? Like, you are an NBA player. Like, what is this nonsense that you're pulling? Like, and every once in a while, he does something nifty with a little, like, a wraparound pass to Hassan. You're like, oh, look, playmaker. And then the jackass messes up the other 46 minutes of the game. So, I mean, that's my whole thing. Like, I am okay with the Heat losing, right? As long as we're losing with our guys for the future. Like, I do not want to see crunch time with Deion Waiters and Luke Babbitt. I barely even want to see James Johnson out there.
Deion Waiters is in the third percentile as a pick and roll ball handler. He's 3 for 15 from the field. Thank you.
Let's say a season average of 11 points and 5 turnovers from Deion Waiters, and start yelling at him. Just let's wait and see here, so we can wait at the end of the season just to say, hey, this is a bad move. Why did we get this guy?
I think December might be closer.
We know he's trash. We don't need to wait for the end of the season. I know trash when I see it, and Deion Waiters is trash.
I don't really mind him running the offense late in games, because who else is going to run half-court offense when the ball stops?
Justice Winslow?
Goron, TJ, Justice Winslow.
That's fine. Okay, but we've
Josh
done
Richardson.
This. Listen,
everybody.
I don't really want Josh Richardson running half-court offense or Tyler Johnson. The only one acceptable is Goron, but for some reason, he's been allergic to it since
he's
gotten
okay,
here.
Okay, now here's my question. So why do you want Deion Waiters running half-court offense if it's not Goron?
Because Goron's not doing it.
So, now what does that do for the future?
Nothing, but Goron doing it doesn't help the future either.
Well, I think that this sort of ties back into the tanking thing. If your best player that can create offense for himself in a half-court situation, just in terms of getting a shot up, a viable shot, is Deion Waiters, then Spo's probably going to go in that direction unless we're going to start deliberately tanking. And the great part about that is that it's like tanking without having to say you're doing it by giving the ball to Deion Waiters. But I see Alf's point that you want your young guys to experience that stuff, take their lumps and stuff like that. But I just think that there's just not enough shot creators on the roster. So Deion by default is going to get some of those late game opportunities.
And that's what I'm saying.
Not if he's on the bench.
You just want him not there.
No, I don't want him on the court.
He's been a good shooter this year. He's been a very good shooter this year.
What Kirsten, kind of shooter?
Was, Kirsten, that was your cue. Stats guru.
Christian is
Deion is 12 for 37 from inside 5 feet. That comes out to 32%. Only Dario Saric of the Sixers is worse so far this year. Thank you.
Very much. But he's bad inside. Bad inside.
Yeah, he's good.
How are we feeling about Justice Winslow's jumper? Because
I got a hot take on that. If you want to hear it,
Brian, are you allowed to have hot takes?
We'll find out. I don't know. We'll see.
Give your take. Let's see. If you get fired, we'll find out.
I think Justice Winslow could be a tremendous shooter if he just cut his hair.
Yeah, that's an awful take.
Why?
I agree.
Why? Why?
Why do you want him to cut his hair?
Because
so much?
I don't even care about his hairstyle. I mean, I think it's all right. I just think if he wants to get a better shot release, his finger has to hit just about an inch above his forehead. He's limited by that because of that long ass fro.
Wait! You think his hair's only all right? His hair is amazing.
I thought this take was a joke. I thought this take was a joke he pulled out of his ass. But he is like he literally
he got analytics on it. I mean,
have you seen
man.
Kyle Korver's release? There's video evidence out there. Actually, I'm not even. This is not my own original take. I'm stealing this from someone else. I'm a hack.
Well, you want to look like Jay Dinner or Jai Dinner, whatever that guy's name is, that rapper.
Who did you steal it from?
I don't know. I think it was Complex Mag.
Yeah. Yeah. Mute your mic, man. Let's move on.
Brian gave his terrible Justice Winslow take. Moving on.
I have a great hashtag for it, though.
I don't want to hear it.
That was fantastic.
Yeah. No, you're Muslim.
Hashtag Justice Fro got to go.
Okay, stop. I can't control you. Leif, I know that you've mentioned quite a bit that you don't expect Goran to be here long term.
I don't. Even like before the game last night, I heard from somebody else that somebody credible actually that he's on the block, man, that they may look to move him sooner rather than later. And
do we not have a sauces like soundbite yet? Because we need it.
Ryan, do you have imaging for this?
No.
Okay. Well, excellent producing.
Wasn't a team that you were looking at was Sacramento?
I hope that was
a trade rumor that I heard.
Yeah. That they've been mentioned. I think Philadelphia is another team that got mentioned. I don't understand why. San Antonio. I don't think he's going to finish the year. I think that they're going to look to add an asset. And I just thought that it would happen around the deadline. And the more I talk to folks, it sounds like it's going to happen sooner than that.
Actually, I found imaging. Like, I found imaging. Do you want to keep this going?
You put the imaging, Brian.
Okay. All right. How do I lower this? All right, imaging was bad.
You're so bad. I want to fire you so bad.
Better than any rejoin I made.
Oh, my God. No, we're done. I don't want it anymore. Just go away. We're done. Turn it up. I don't want it. We're done. Go away.
None of that can be an image of me. Please.
This has been the worst show you have ever done. Like, you are on a, like, you are so bad today.
Brian.
I blame myself. It's my fault.
No, it's Roy's fault. Roy, it's not your fault. It's not
Roy,
your fault.
This is his best show ever. Roy.
I'm so happy that I had my mic on mute because I've just been like crying for the last minute.
It was supposed to be a news intro.
No, I don't want anything to do with you anymore. I don't want to see you. I would like you to turn your video off. I don't want to look at you ever again.
Good job, Brian.
You want to put the blinders on, man.
It's become a disaster.
I didn't think it was that bad.
No,
I got
bad,
another.
Dude.
I got one more saucy nugget hot take.
Save us, please.
I also think that the Heat are going to dangle Hassan Whiteside after December 15th and see if they couldn't flip him for a more stable centerpiece. We'll say.
I don't like them moving those guys. I like them to keep Gore and Hassan. I don't understand.
Look, you just blew Roy's mind, man.
Yeah, bro. <Russell. laughs> Why do you think that, Lee?
I'm not saying a trade will happen. I'm just saying that I know that they weren't thrilled with the idea of maxing him, and he is putting up numbers on a suspect team. And I just think that if they could turn him and Goran into another player that maybe has a little bit more of a, you know, polished offensive game, or a player that they could run offense through, like a Boogie Cousins, for instance, I think that they would think long and hard about it if the opportunity presented itself. That's all.
And for the audience, they did not try to... Stop with the imaging! God! I hate you!
Hey, man, we need to walk through that before you do it, because, like, I would want to choose the music, and it's not going to be that stuff.
It won't be that.
No, this was just like a chime. This was just a breaking news chime.
I don't
chime.
Even remember what my take was. I was going to say something, and I don't remember because I hate you.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
There it is.
Can it be like some kind of Outkast sample, please?
Can I recommend some music?
No.
Please?
Spotty-otty, double-licious.
Yeah, like that. Those trumpets. That's what I want to come into.
I don't have any control of the show anymore. What are you doing?
Is that Groot? Why is Groot dancing?
Okay.
This is the worst podcast ever.
I've lost control of my show. This is a disaster.
This is almost as bad as the debate cast.
No, I know. This is all your fault, Brian.
I think it's going swimmingly.
You shut the hell up, dude. You made fun of me at the beginning of the show, and you haven't done anything to help me.
I'm having a great time.
Yeah, I'm sure you are, jackass. You've been drinking all day.
We've laughed. We've gotten two dope Lave hot takes. We heard about what I think about tanking. Christian's given some awesome stats.
Chris, you have Roy, another stat for us?
We have a TV.
Deion Waiters. He's just been bad.
Bad.
I don't need stats. It's been a train wreck. Guy blows into the lane, like completely beats his man. Layup right there. Bricks it. I mean, how? Like, why? I'm there in my seat and I'm seething. Why is he starting? All right, I'm sorry.
This is nothing that I'm not used to.
Yeah, your show is totally influencing us right now.
Dying.
Our show is based on your show.
Oh, you noticed.
Yeah.
Okay, where were we? Right, we did Dwayne, we did Tank.
We had a show sheet.
Leif gives a lukewarm take.
SNL, or Goran Long Term.
Yeah, Goran Long Term, no. Alf, do you have anything to add to that? I mean, it seems...
Which one, the Goran Long Term?
Topic seems kind of dead at this point.
No, you ruined it.
I didn't ruin anything. Brian ruined it.
You ruined it by not letting the imaging go through. But no, I think...
That's my fault.
If you go back, shameless plug, to Leif and I's hot take article before the season, we both kind of thought that Goran wouldn't last a year. And that's not because I love Goran. I think he's awesome. But I just think long term, I just don't see what the play is with Goran. Like, I just when you're talking about a youth movement, is what is Goran doing there? Is he 31 now, a 31-year-old point guard with a lot of miles on him? Like, it just doesn't make sense.
Not a lot of miles on him because he didn't play a lot early in his career.
Yeah, but he's been playing over in Slovenia. You know, they play like three games in a day.
He was playing with the Suns, and he was barely playing.
Dude, when you play in Eastern Europe, dude, you play all day long under the threat of violence. Like, that, he has miles on him. So
European correspondent, Al.
Yeah, I'll tell. Listen, nobody knows Slovenia like I know Slovenia.
Sauces.
Anyway, yes. But my whole thing with. I just don't see long term what his place is with the Heat. I don't know if that makes sense. Like, it just doesn't make sense to me long term. And I love Goran, but I could see he has the best, most tradable contract on the Heat right now, besides maybe Hassan. And it all depends on how they look going into like December. Going into the trade deadline, if they're complete trash, I don't see them keeping the team together. I don't see why you would.
What do you mean? Why wouldn't you keep them? Because who thought they were going to be good?
That's not what I'm understanding.
Because what we're saying now is, based on whatever results we're getting, they're going to completely blow this up. Which I don't think anybody who had a brain going into the season thought that they were going to be any sort of good, decent, or special. They thought they were going to be kind of maybe okay if things went well for them. They might win 38 games and, you know, 9 seed, 10 seed. And why does this bad start, or why would a bad start change that thinking? And they're like, we need to get rid of our point guard was a great contract. We need to get rid of the young center we just gave a lot of money to. I don't get it.
I don't think it's a need to get rid of. It's just that if you can send Goran somewhere for an asset where they're the age of the player that you acquire, whether it's a young player or it's a draft pick, is more lined up with all the young bucks they have on the roster, it just makes sense.
What team would give anything of value if you have a young player? Like, what teams have the young players? They're typically bad teams. And if you're going to move a bad player to get Goran, a young player to get Goran, you're probably a bad team, and at that point, why do you want Goran? Like,
well, but you're in a unique year where in the East, there's going to be a lot of bad teams that are on the cusp of a playoff berth. You know what I mean? So, like, if you can get in the playoffs winning 37, 36 games, you'll have a team that maybe would max out normally as a 30-win roster, thinking that they could tag on enough victories to sneak into the playoffs. There'll be teams that'll do that. And also out in the West Coast, if you have a lot of parity from 1 through 8, I don't know. I think that you're underestimating the value of Dragic's deal long term.
No, I think it's such a good deal because you're getting such a good player at value. I just don't think it's wise to move it. And contrary to what Alf said, he doesn't have a lot of NBA miles on him because early in his career he didn't start, and he's only recently been playing full time seasons as a starter. While he is not young, I think he'll be able to play a little later into his career. Silence. Thank you, guys. You guys are great allies.
No, I agree with you. You're lying. No, I don't. I don't at all.
I don't either.
What are you going to add? You're just like, well, and then you just sit there.
The Heater shooting 53% within 5 feet. That is worse than the NBA.
Wait, I can make this better. I can make this
better. No. Please, you've done enough. Okay, all right, Roy, I'm going to let you pick what we talk about next. We have Saturday Night Live, or we have Josh Richardson. What do you want to talk about?
Let's go with SNL, because that was I haven't seen SNL since Norm was doing Weekend Update, so first SNL I've seen in like 20 years, man. And it was excellent. I think I think Dave Chappelle did an excellent job. I think Kate
McKinnon.
I think it's last name. Oh, McKinnon. I'm sorry. I think she did a great job. With the song in the beginning, the Leonard Cohen.
I didn't know that the writer of that song died this year.
Leonard Cohen just died.
He just died like a couple of days ago. So I guess it's been a bad week, man.
It's been a rough week.
It's been a bad year.
I thought the skit where the white folks were watching the election as it went. I thought that was pretty accurate and really funny and ironic. I thought that was well played.
Yeah, they did an excellent job on that skit. Yeah, that was great. And the second skit afterwards with all the Chappelle Show characters, that was pretty good up until he teed off on
his spoiler alert.
I'm like, what's going on here?
they took it a little too far at the end when he ran away with his own head. That was but before that it was great.
That was a 2005 humor.
Did they let him curse more than they normally would?
Yes.
I was like, man, this show has changed since the last time I sat down and watched it.
A lot of N words.
He dropped a lot of
N bombs dropping.
The
second song by a Tribe Called Quest. I mean, when Q-Tip hit the N word on repeat, I was like, "Oh wait,
what's going on here? What are we watching?" I wasn't ready for that,
man. Hey, listen, it's Trump's America, man. That's
living in a new America, man.
We're gonna hear a lot more of that word going flying around.
Yeah, on the other side.
Exactly. Hey, why not get used to it now? Let's break it in. Break America.
Get used to it. 1927 all over again.
I liked how he even started off one of the monologue with saying, you know, he knows white people. Like, you all are surprised. This is what we've been living. he used to be full of better surprises.
In all honesty, I'm glad like we got to a point where we could laugh about it. Cause I mean, on Tuesday night, I didn't think I could ever laugh about this election, about the outcome, about Trump. I didn't think I could ever bring myself to laugh about it. But I mean, I guess what are you going to do at this point? Go march in Seattle? Like, I mean, that's what it is.
The joke he had on the riots in Portland.
Yeah.
He's like, you know, us black people are thinking amateurs.
Yeah. It was like $1 million in damage. They broke a Starbucks.
I think that,
They stole all the pumpkin spice.
They broke a coffee machine.
Well, the horror.
They flipped over a Prius. It was insanity.
Am I alone thinking the sketches weren't that funny that he did? Other than the first two?
The sketches were mostly bad. The one, that weird one at the end at the bar with Kate McKinnon.
God, no, the one about the breast milk.
Oh, that breast milk one was
so weird, dude. I didn't know how to feel. I wanted to laugh because it was Dave, because I love him, but oh god, it was awkward.
That was uncomfortable, and that's what made it funny.
Oh my god.
Keenan was trying not to laugh. He was trying so hard not to laugh.
Both times Keenan thought.
He was like, what the hell are we doing?
But the crazy thing about it is, like, if they could find one comedian who could put this whole week into some kind of frame of reference that we could laugh at and enjoy and kind of all get behind, man, they picked the perfect guy in Chappelle. I don't know if anybody could have captured it the way he did. And then even some people latched on to what he said about giving Trump a chance, and they, you know, the Trump supporters kind of latched on to it and said, oh, hey, even Dave Chappelle is saying, you know, get behind the president. They completely misconstrued what he said, but at the end of the day.
My favorite part.
They took his words. Yeah, they ignored what he said before, after, in the middle, everything. But the one part where he said we have to give him a chance. That's all he said, give him a chance. And then I saw a headline, Chappelle says to stop the nonsense and support Trump. I'm like, when? Did I watch?
They keep trying to say that he's supporting Trump. They said that 3 weeks ago, saying that he was critical
of Hillary.
Yeah.
And then
I must get Dave so mad, it's infuriate him, dude. That's what he wanted to avoid. That's why he left his fame. But
yeah, he wishes. Do you want to hear? Do you want the actual transcript from what he said?
I don't want you to do anything more.
Are you going to recite it? Because that'd make it really funny.
Okay, yeah, you got it.
We got time to wait.
Okay, you know what? Let's go. Let's hear it, Brian.
Do you want to do it from the Bradley Cooper story?
I just want you to do it. Just read the transcript.
I'll just read the last graph. So in that spirit, I'm wishing Donald Trump luck, and I'm going to give him a chance. And we, the historically disenfranchised, demand that he gives us one too. Thank you very much.
No, really, he said demand. No, he said demand. Yes. He's going to listen to anyone.
When you said, let's give Donald Trump a chance, you sounded so racist.
Yeah.
Someone's going to cut that up one day when I get famous.
Oh, you're never going to get famous, but I'll cut that up anyway.
I'm going to use it against
Cut that up, tweet it out. Roy can retweet it.
Maybe that should be the name of the podcast. Brian Zach Trump.
No, crazy. Nobody would listen.
First Tyler Johnson, now this.
Roy, now,
yeah.
How much backlash are you getting? Because one thing I pointed out the other day, I like the fact that you are not afraid to kind of voice your opinion on some of this political stuff, social stuff. Like, how much backlash are you getting on Twitter?
Oh, these white people are mad, dog. Oh, boy. Like, I'm fighting off everybody. Like, and I'm over here, like, bring it on. Like, it doesn't matter to me. I got nothing else to do. I'll fight.
I get it, too. They should be happy.
Yeah. Yeah.
A lot of guys with camouflage caps.
Yeah, a lot of guys wearing that Trump hat. A lot of eggs on Twitter.
Avatars.
A lot of hunters.
A lot of hunters. A lot of bow and arrow slingers.
A lot of Bradley Coopers.
Crossbow.
If the person has less than 70 followers, look out.
Yes.
Have you noticed they always say father first or something, or proud father in the bio? Proud father.
Yeah, a lot of Philippians, a lot of Johns, a lot
exact,
of
yes. John 3.
Matthew.
Proud father. Like, dog, come on.
Or they have their dog in their Abbey. A lot of their dog Abbeys.
Yeah, the dog Abbey. Yeah.
Bonnie loves the clash of those guys.
Actually,
I love the hip.
I totally forgot the hip before. But I think wasn't it the same day as the election was when Roy, you did your first top 10 in a while?
It was the day after. It was the day after. Yeah.
Yeah, that might have been honestly the first time I laughed after the election. So thank you, by the way.
Yeah, no problem. It had to be done.
I started laughing so hard when Mike is clapping, "The Healing Starts Now." I almost crashed. I almost crashed, dude. Like, it was so funny. Healing starts now. Dude, I was losing it.
Yeah, we need a lot of that, man. We need a lot of that.
Amen, sir. All right, so we're going to stop.
I was going to ask Roy, does anybody tell you to kind of tone it down with the political stuff, or they just let you have free reign?
I just don't care.
It's a way to live, man.
There's no Disney Mandate, not
on Twitter. I mean, there might be one on radio, but not on Twitter. But when you live your life not caring, you know, you're a lot more happier that way.
I like it.
Amen.
Yeah. Amen to that. Roy, are you surprised on how popular your show has gotten?
No, not really. I mean, no, you know what? I was surprised that. Well, I shouldn't even say that. I was surprised at the amount of hate that we get once we started simulcasting, taking over Colin's spot. But yeah, there was a lot of hatred. And I bet you the people that hated our show at first voted for Trump.
That's a damn good bet.
In the world. Yeah. But I guess once those people left and went over to Fox and the people that gave us a chance,
all four of them
spread the word about us. Yeah, all four of them. And all four of them turned into all, like, thousands of them. Like it caught on, and it takes time for things to catch on, you know. So and I think we're better for it. But I think there's a lot of room to grow with the show. So I think there's going to be a lot more fans sooner down the line.
I've been surprised by how many people that used to really not like your show and they used to make fun of me for liking it and have now changed their minds and say, oh, I get why you like it so much. Like, it's so good.
Yeah, just got to get used to it. Once you understand that sports talk is boring, really? once you get into the fact that that pop culture is more exciting than actually talking about sports, and having sports and pop culture actually becoming one and intertwined, it's a lot more fun to actually listen to radio. You know, so like people got used to it, and now I think they're happy for it now.
And you ruined sports radio for all of us, by the way.
All of us.
Okay. Oh, you're welcome. you're very much welcome.
who would you say is most responsible for kind of getting you guys in that lane? You know, the lane that you currently occupy, like the show. You know, having that style.
I think it was from the beginning, actually. You know, that's the whole sort of, I mean, the whole point of the show from the beginning was, we're not going to be your ordinary sports talk show. Like, we are not going to be Mike Francesa. We're not going to be Mad Dog. We're not going to be Colin. We're not going to be Boomer. We're not going to be any of these guys. We're going to do our own show, and we're going to have fun doing it. And hopefully you guys will have fun listening to us having fun doing it. And if you don't, and it is what it is.
How much fun were those big three shows? Because, like, that was some of the best radio I've ever heard.
Oh, man. We were pouring liquor on ourselves during that time. Man, it was awesome. It was the greatest time in sports radio. And it's gone. It's gone. It's gone. No! We're left with this Heat team. This sorry 2-6 Heat team. Oh, no.
You left for Lou Babbitt.
Now we argue about Tyler Johnson. Oh, jeez. Roy, I think Lebatar kind of hinted at it one day. I don't know if the whole story's ever been out. Like, how did you get involved with the show? I heard it was like a stalker situation.
That'd be funny.
No,
it was
not
true.
A stalker situation. No, I was in college.
That's factually.
All right, I'll start from the beginning. I'm a big fan of Fred Caliendo, right? So one day when the Super Bowl was in Jacksonville, he joined the show for the first time. You know, I was a fan of Frank from like high school, you know. So he joined the show one time. And it was around the time when I noticed while watching the Heat game that, hey, we have an ESPN affiliate down here. All right, nice. ESPN 790. Cool. I think I'll listen to it one day. So I turned it on, and it said Frank was going to be on. So, all right, cool. I'll sit back and listen. And trying to figure out what the name of the show was at the time, it was like, oh, Dan Lebatard. Okay, cool. All right. I think I'll start listening to the show. So I started listening to the show, and I started, you know, emailing, you know, because they like to do the names that connote, like, you know, like, Bird.
So-and-so's name that
you
connotes.
Know, like Iron Eagle.
Yeah.
Iron Eagle, you know, that sort of thing. So I used to send in, like, names like that. And they liked my stuff and got, like, prizes and whatnot. So I decided, okay, when they were doing live remotes, I'd just go out from time to time. And at the time I was in college, I was going for journalism. And I decided, okay, how about I just ask for a job? So I went to the offices, which was in Hollywood, and I signed up for a job. And I got an internship at the time, Sid Rosenberg. And I was working in the office as an office assistant, and then started focusing on the show. Now, they moved me over to do Dan's show. and it went up from there. Then I became associate producer, then I became producer, and then we ended up on ESPN Radio. Now here I am right now doing this podcast.
You made it.
Yeah, you've made it.
Mama, we made it.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Yeah, Roy, thank you. It's luck. Luck, really.
Roy, we launched careers, by the way. I just want to let you know that.
Yeah.
Anybody who comes on with us goes, yeah, no. Joy Taylor's a national voice now after being with us. Izzy got like four radio shows after coming on with us. George.
Yeah, George has that promotion on ESPN now. Every Monday he has Nación ESPN.
George owns, I think George owns ESPN Deportes now because of us.
Leisure had to cover the Dolphins.
That's an upgrade. George, that's an upgrade Dolphins. Right now. They're doing pretty good.
Anthony Chang.
Next thing you know, you're going to have Tony Collins on. Tony Collins from SportsCenter.
We should get Tony. Hey, make George give us Tony Collins, Al.
I don't even know who Tony Collins is.
You need to text Doris Burke first.
What? You don't know who Tony Collins is? Really?
I know who Tony Collins is, of course.
Yeah,
you don't know that,
I mean, you know, Stuttgart got her confused with Cassidy Hubert. That's Tony Collins.
Oh, okay. I know who Tony Collins is.
I was like,
about.
Yeah, okay.
I thought you were talking about a dude. I'm like, I don't want a sports center anchor.
Well, I don't know how to pronounce their first name, dude. I mean, it's like Antoinette or Antonietta or something like that. Yeah. I don't know how to pronounce the name.
Tony's fine.
Tony is fine.
Tony's easy. Tony's universal. We all get that.
We're working on Cassidy Hubbard, too, but the Heat are letting me down big time. I have a bet with George Sedano that if the Heat win 45 games, we'll get Cassidy Hubbard. So
yeah, you're not going to get her. You're not going to get her.
No.
Never be on the show ever.
Ever.
Just let her know that we're career launchers. I mean, before, Roy might get a radio show after this.
No.
I have no desire to become a host of the radio show. Thank you very much.
Roy's going to be president of BET after this. Watch.
Roy, how'd you guys get Billy and Chris involved? Because those have been delightful additions to the show.
I don't know.
You don't know. You've been working there.
I don't know, man. I'm doing my own thing. I don't know about them. They got Mike.
Roy turned around. They just showed up one day. Like, who the hell are you guys?
They're not going to take my job, right? No, you're cool. Okay.
Yeah, that was last week, actually.
wait, who are they?
Who are these guys?
Weren't we talking about the Heat at one point?
Yeah.
Oh, I think that was like 3 hours ago.
That was like, woof. Do we want to talk about Jay Rich or?
No, I'm fine, thanks.